Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us, and through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you.
And with your spirit.
As the Lord Jesus, after his resurrection, appeared to his apostles and gave them his peace, so we begin this Mass, this Eucharist, with the sign of his peace to each one of us. We ask God now to hear our prayer and to give us the grace of repentance. Let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my fault, through my most grievous. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, ever-Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, whose will is to restore all things in your beloved Son, the King of the universe, grant, we pray, that the whole creation, set free from slavery, may render your majesty service and ceaselessly proclaim your praise. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will look after and tend my sheep. As a shepherd tends his flock when he finds himself among his scattered sheep, so will I tend my sheep. I will rescue them from every place where they were scattered when it was cloudy and dark. I myself will pasture my sheep. I myself will give them rest, says the Lord God. The lost I will seek out, the strayed I will bring back, the injured I will bind up, the sick I will heal, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy, shepherding them rightly. As for you, my sheep, says the Lord God, I will judge between one sheep and another, between rams and goats. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is none. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through man, the resurrection of the dead came also through man. For just as in Adam all die, so too in Christ shall all be brought to life, but each one in proper order. Christ, the first fruits. Then, at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to his God and Father, when he has destroyed every sovereignty and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. When everything is subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to the one who subjected everything to him, so that God may be all in all. The word of the Lord.
Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Praise
Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. A stranger and you welcomed me. Naked and you clothed me. Ill and you cared for me. In prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them in reply, 'Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me.' Then they will answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or ill or in prison, and not minister to your needs?' He will answer them, 'Amen, I say to you, when you did not do for one of the least ones, you did not do for me.' And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning again to everyone and to those who are watching on television or listening over the radio or live streaming or however you are receiving this message this morning. Each one of us has a story. Our life is a story. And as we know, stories have beginnings and stories conclude. At the end of this liturgical year, which we are concluding today, we are reminded by the Church, by Almighty God, of the ultimate conclusion of each one of our lives, and that is the final judgment. It's as if we were to take an exam, and I don't know about you, but to have the questions before the exam would be nice. Jesus gives us the questions. Here is what you will be judged upon. It's a very simple exercise that he gives us, and yet our whole life as a story must unfold in the context of those questions. The ultimate one, to see the presence of Christ in the other, in our neighbor. God and humanity coming together. Each one of us has an individual story that we can tell. But as baptized Christians, as baptized into the body of Christ, into Christ himself, our story also is a collective story. We are co-responsible with each other for the promotion of Christ's kingdom, to at all think that Christ and the gospel can be promoted and continued by one person or a class of people or a group of people is today false thinking. Our Holy Father has reminded us over and over again in his short pontificate that we are all responsible. We are all responsible for the mission of the church, for the spread of the gospel, to create what Blessed Paul VI called a civilization of love. At the time of Ezekiel, the leaders of the people called themselves shepherds. And the prophet Ezekiel was sent by God to pronounce an oracle to these shepherds, not calling them good shepherds, not calling them just shepherds, kind shepherds, humble shepherds, but bad shepherds. Bad shepherds. And therefore, I will send my own shepherd. And we can certainly see in this a foreshadowing of Jesus proclaiming himself as the good shepherd, as the one who has come from God, mandated by his Father under his will to bring God's reign, God's love, God's mercy, God's peace to the human race. And so we see in the story and the life of Jesus unfolded throughout these weeks of our year, of our liturgical year, we see his story of one that reached out to the poor, that healed the brokenhearted, that cured the lame, opened the eyes of the blind, raised the dead, and sought justice for those who were being exploited by others in the scene at the temple when people were being asked to give money for donations before going into the temple, and Jesus overturned the tables. It was not just because they were defaming the house of God, but because they were exploiting the poor. And as Jesus continued his life, he spoke to us of the Beatitudes, of what makes life meaningful for us as his disciples. What does it mean to tell the story of Christ in ourselves? Blessed are the humble, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are peacemakers, blessed are those who are merciful toward others, blessed are those who are sorrowful and comfort the sorrowful. All of this retells the story of Jesus in our own life, because that is what a disciple is, to renew themselves every day as they get up every morning, to tell the story of Christ to our brothers and sisters whom we meet, to tell the story of Christ through our own life and actions. That is our collective story. And to do that, Jesus gives us that scene of the Gospel of Matthew, where he shows us a simple pattern to accomplish that. To see in each person the presence of Jesus Christ. That is not done with physical eyes. That is not done from the brain to the eye. That is done from the life of faith. The life of faith, to see Christ in another person, even in an enemy. Even in an enemy. And upon that we will be judged at the end of time. One of my favorite stories in the collective story of Christianity, of which is a part of all of us, is the story, simple story, of St. Martin of Tours, a Roman soldier who one day on his horse passed a poor man in the freezing cold. And the beggar simply asked him for something to cover himself with to protect him from the cold. Martin got off of his horse, took his cloak, which was tethered and torn. He cut it in half and gave half of it to the poor man to cover him up. That night, Martin had a dream. And in his dream, he saw Jesus Christ on his throne in heaven with all the other saints and angels around him. And he was wearing this cloak. And they said to him, "Why are you wearing that ugly, torn cloak?" And he simply said, "Because my friend Martin gave it to me." That is a story of our faith. That is a story which should awaken faith in us to see the same in our brothers and sisters that we meet every day. You and I do not live faith in a vacuum. We do not live faith only in the walls of this cathedral, or in the walls of our churches, or in the walls of our homes. We live our faith day in and day out, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We don't turn it on and turn it off. If we think that is possible, it's not there anyway. Our faith is something that develops and grows as our story continues in life. And the more we truly experience faith, the more we want. Faith the size of a mustard seed. You begin to see it grow and you want to do more. But we live that faith in the context of our world. And what is our world today? Each one of us could paint or write down how we see the world today. But it is no mystery to us, my dear friends, that our world is becoming more and more divided, more and more angry, more and more neglectful of people, more and more judgmental, etc., etc. If I just think of my own week, meeting with someone and hearing stories of the number of children that are walking the streets of Corpus Christi alone at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's the context. That's a symptom of the context of our society today. And there is Jesus in those people calling out to us, "I need a home." And we could easily say, "Those poor children," and judge the parents. The parents need help too, and perhaps the grandparents. The whole family structure needs help today, as we are entering now into a year dedicated to the family. What are we doing? What can we do to enrich and to solidify our own family life, personally and in the larger context? There are things that are being promoted in our parishes this year that speak to us of family life as we prepare for the World Meeting of Families in Philadelphia in September, where our Holy Father will come to emphasize the importance of the family structure. We cannot close our eyes. As we conclude our life, the Lord will not ask us, "How many problems did you avoid in your life?" He will say to us, "How many problems did you embrace as my cross present in your life? Pick up your cross He will not ask us how many people who think differently than you do were you able to avoid. He will ask us, did you see me in them instead of judging them, casting them aside and taking the opposite position, splitting families, society even more? None of us has to lose anything of our convictions in life. None of us has to let go of anything that is true to our faith that Jesus has taught us, not that we have dreamt up, but what Jesus has truly taught us. Nobody has to lose anything. But through that, Jesus wants us to build his kingdom on earth. Not by avoiding problems, by evading people, by arguing with people. He wants us to come together. That is the heart of Jesus Christ, that we come together, and he's asking you and me, as we conclude this liturgical year, to re-listen to this gospel, perhaps every day. I was hungry, and you didn't laugh at me, you didn't walk away from me, you didn't avoid me, you fed me. I was thirsty. You didn't point the way to the water fountain. You gave me water. I was hungry and naked, and you brought me something. I was a child hungry on the streets, and you helped. You found help for me, etc., etc. My sisters and brothers, if our story as a Christian people is to come to the conclusion that we all want, and that is eternal life, eternal happiness in heaven, we can't wait till the last breath. We begin today. We begin today to reach out in the simplest of places, beginning in our own homes, to see Jesus in them. I'd like to give you a final little saying that's helped me over the last few weeks, something that I refound in one of the meditation boxes of many materials that I have. And it was simply a phrase that I've tried to repeat over the past couple of weeks: to tell you that I love you. That's spoken to Jesus. In every situation, to tell you that I love you. I don't avoid the phone call. I try not to ignore the person who wants to talk. I try to do this that I don't want to do, to tell you that I love you. It is love that builds up the kingdom of God. And so if every action that we do, whether we like to do it or we don't like to do it, whether it's an enemy or a friend, to tell you that I love you in the secret of our hearts, that is what should motivate every one of our actions. That is what should motivate our life. That is what will enrich our personal story. To tell you, I love you. To tell you, I love you. Can you imagine if before we wrote those emails that we sometimes love to send to tell people what we really think, if before sending it or even writing it, you simply said, I'm going to write this email to tell you I love you, and see what comes out. Or before you cook that dinner and you just want to throw it together and you don't care what it tastes like for the to tell you I love you. It gives a different tone to who we are, to our life. It enriches the presence of Christ in us. And it will be with that, that as we come before the throne of the Lord, he will say, I recognize you. You are my friend. You helped my people on earth through your family, through your acquaintances at work. We don't have to go far. Just the person that's with us in the present moment. That's the one that Jesus says, see my presence in that person and tell me that you love me by doing what is needed for that person in that moment. Praise be Jesus Christ. Let us now profess our faith together. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, before Father, before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. And by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the needs of all our world, commending them to the care of our loving and good shepherd.
For the safety of all Christians throughout the world, especially in places of war, persecution, and oppression in the Middle East, Asia, and Africa, let us pray to the Lord. For those who are hungry and thirsty, or who are foreigners in our midst, let us pray to the Lord. For those who are ill and have no one to care for them, for those who are in prison with no one to visit them, let us pray to the Lord. For our faith community, that we recommit ourselves to serving Christ and all our sisters and brothers in need, we pray to the Lord. For those who serve in our armed forces and for their families and loved ones, let us pray to the Lord. For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of deceased members of the Mew family, Joe Cueva, Susana Molina, and Cindy Schumann, let us pray to the Lord. Now, my dear friends, for all of the prayers and intentions that we hold in the silence of our own hearts. For all of our needs, let us pray to the Lord.
Loving Father, you raise our Lord Jesus Christ from death to life, and seated him in glory now as King of the universe. Hear our prayers that we make in his name, who is our Lord and King forever and ever.
Amen.
Thank you.
Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Almighty Father. As we offer you, O Lord, the sacrifice by which the human race is reconciled to you, we humbly pray that your Son himself may bestow on all nations the gifts of unity and peace through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For you anointed your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, with the oil of gladness as eternal priest and King of all creation, so that by offering himself on the altar of the cross, as a spotless sacrifice to bring us peace, he might accomplish the mysteries of human redemption. And making all created things subject to his rule, he might present to the immensity of your majesty an eternal and universal kingdom, a kingdom of truth and life, a kingdom of holiness and grace, a kingdom of justice, love, and peace. And so with angels and archangels, with thrones and dominions, and with all the hosts and powers of heaven, we sing the hymn of your glory as without end we acclaim. Indeed, holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we present to you, we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
The mystery of faith.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you willed to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son, and filled with his Holy Spirit, may become one body, one spirit in Christ.
May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints, on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. May you please confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth with your servants Francis our Pope and Michael our Bishop, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family, whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who were pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other a sign of peace.
Peace.
Peace be with you.
Hello, I'm Father Han Fong, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.